Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up? Don't sit down. Stand up, don't back down. Stand up and shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American, American.
I'll see you.
American, American.
Good afternoon to another afternoon here on Blog Talk Radio. This is Southern Sense. I am your host, and Ubellis, and with me is my co-host Cool Mike, and our guest today is going to be the South Carolina chair of the GOP, Chad Conley. And good afternoon, Mike.
Oh boy, Annie, I am excited. My man is on. You told me he's already called in.
He's already called in, and I'm going to bring him on the line. So I'm
going
to introduce.
What are we waiting for?
I'm on, money. I'm on, guys. Good afternoon.
I was just going to say good afternoon,
Mr.
Conley.
Back.
Yes,
hey,
welcome
thank
back.
Thank you all for having me. It's one of those crazy days where I've got media requests, and I've already done, I think, two TV spots. I got another one coming up here in about 15 minutes, and got three more after that today, CNN, MSNBC, and Fox Business. So it's a wild day. I'm glad to be with y'all.
Yeah, we're in the spotlight here in South Carolina with the primary coming up tomorrow, and that debate last night. Oh, my God. I was standing up behind my Archie Bunker chair, and I was wooing.
Well, you know, I've been saying for, you know, really months that this would be decisive. We've got a 30-year track record. It's a pattern. It's not accidental anymore. And our blend of the Republican base, the social, the fiscal, the military conservatives, makes us unique. And I think that's got a lot to do with why we're a carve-out state, and it's certainly got a lot to do with why we're able to pick the eventual nominee.
I hope so. I hope so. Yesterday, Newt Gingrich was down here, downtown Buford, at the Waterfront Park. And he made a statement yesterday, and they actually played it on a couple of the news channels, and I was hysterical when he did that. I don't know if you caught the bit where he was talking about Obama in Disneyland.
You know, I didn't. I have seen very little actual clips. I've heard about some things from Twitter or some of the staff, but I've been in the studio most of the day. I didn't get back from Charleston until almost 2 o'clock in the morning myself. So I laid down, took a nap for about 3.5 hours or so, and I really haven't seen it, but you can tell me about it.
Well, he was standing there, and he was saying that Obama has now commandeered Disney World for his little, by invitation only, town hall, putting all these people that have been planning their vacations for months and years in advance, you know, out of the park. And
yep.
he said, can you imagine him with the teleprompter? On the right, the teleprompter is Mickey Mouse, and on the left, it's Goofy. And he said, it looks like his presidential cabinet. It was great.
I didn't get to hear that. That's good. He's good for a quip, isn't he?
Yeah, that he is. And it's going viral, the opening of the debate with John King asking the question about his ex-wife, Marianne. And, oh, man, I'm going to play that for the listeners later because I don't want to waste your time. It's about 3 minutes. But you want to make a comment about what he did? Because I was standing behind my Archie Bunker chair going, whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think what's going on, and y'all know this, and your listeners are more savvy than most folks out there, any of our candidates would be, you know, better than what we got in the White House. It's just a train wreck of a disaster, one wreck after another up there. But I think what you're seeing, you know, the speaker's gotten two standing ovations in the last two debates over a four-day period. And I don't know, I think they like his content fine, but I tell you what I think people really like is they like him pointing out to the media that you don't bother to ask Democrats these kind of pointed and personal deep questions. You know, nobody asked Obama about his cocaine use, or they left Hillary alone about Bill and his philandering. Nobody asked those kinds of questions. But Republicans get subjected to those kind of questions over and over and over. And I think what the audience demonstrated the last two debate nights in South Carolina is we're sick of the media having a bias against us.
That is true. I'm trying to think of the proper word. It's disproportionate. Not even.
That's right. It really is. And we know this going on, but I think all of our candidates have won some points because they're all kind of calling them out on that and not letting them get by with just, you know, hanging us with all these pointed questions that I think are fair game if they ask everybody. But if they're not asking everybody this kind of stuff, it kind of points to their filter and their bias.
That's true. Our GOP primary is open, as well as the Democrat. And theirs is going to be, I think it's a week after ours.
Yeah.
At this point, though, it means that a Democrat can actually come into our primary and vote on a Republican ticket, and then vice versa. Are you going to be working to close the primary in the future?
Well, you know, we filed a lawsuit, and it got stopped by an Obama appointee. The party filed that lawsuit before I was chairman. We're going to actually push it through legislative means. I'd rather see it done that way than judicially. I've been a critic of the judicial activism we as conservatives have been subjected to in the past. So I'd like to see it done legislatively. I don't know if you've seen, but Stephen Colbert suggested people go vote for Herman Cain. And some people ask me, oh, it's a bad thing, that's a bad thing. You know, I think any time we get people out to vote, that's not a bad thing. But here's the particular in Stephen Colbert's case, is he's got an audience that's not necessarily our audience. And so those people who go do that, one, they cannot organize a Democrat precinct later on. When the Democrats do their precinct reorg, those folks can't go in there and vote or be a precinct captain or a committeeman or anything else like that. But the biggest part is they get on our mailing list. And so they're going to be subjected to our mailings in the next few years because they voted in a Democratic primary. I mean, a Republican primary instead of the Democratic primary. So while these things bother us, we don't know how big the percentages are, but we think there's some positives in that we get more people voting. And, of course, they've just given us their contact information to send our information to for the next several years.
Now, that I wasn't aware of because I did pull that article up about Stephen Colbert, and that was going to be my next question. You got ahead of me. But I was not aware that they could not become precinct captains or organize a precinct if they vote.
Oh my goodness. It's more of a deterrent than people know. I mean, some of that happens, but I think you get more of it of people who don't vote at all, or you get independents who just never vote in our primaries. And so, I've been telling the media, let them come on. We're going to get their name and address, and we're going to capture the information, and then maybe they'll get to hear our side of things a little bit.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead.
One of the things.
It's really hard for them to build a party. Look where they are. And I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's really hard for them. I've been saying that Harpo and the Democrats are teetering on the edge of irrelevancy here. It's really hard to build a party when you encourage your people to cross over and vote in primaries and they can't go organize a precinct.
Now, that's funny. You called Harpoolian Harpo. I love that because I don't know if you know that my father's name is John King, and when I'm listening to him do the CNN debate, I'm calling him Jerk King because I don't want to use my dad's name.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, one of the other things I was going to talk to you about is these super PACs, and that was what was going on in the Myrtle Beach debate where Gingrich and Romney were going after each other with the super PACs. Are you working on that at all?
Well, you know, there's not much you can do. It's a new law. It's a new animal. I think the blessing for the people in South Carolina is between the super PACs, the campaigns, the media, you know, we're going to have another $50 million spent in our state. So it's a huge blessing. You know, I'm on Main Street, Columbia right now, and I'm down here about to go to the studio and do this CNN hit in a little bit, which is right next door to where we are. And I'm looking at all these media trucks and satellite trucks setting up for tonight and tomorrow's primary. They're in our state because we're first in the South. And so it is a huge blessing for our state that this is taking place at all and spending the money, spending the time. So the Super PAC's biggest impact, I think, right now, since it's so spread out, is they're putting money in our state that we didn't have to go get. It's coming here simply because we're the first in the South primary.
All right. Now, we almost didn't have a primary because there was a lawsuit from some of the districts here against the Republican Party about finances. What's the story on that now?
Well,
is that completely
you know, the
done
real
with?
Story is the primary was never in jeopardy. Look, four counties brought a lawsuit. That was a frivolous lawsuit. Here's the interesting stuff. You know, it's interesting that counties can't afford to put on a presidential preference primary, but they seem to find the money to put on these school board, district school board elections at off times that don't coincide with any other election. They never complain about putting that on. Then if they don't have the money to put on a primary, how do they hire the number one most liberal Democrat trial lawyer in the state to bring this lawsuit? Hey, what if I sue them for my lawyer fees? You know, I've got over $102,000 so far in legal fees to defend what we knew was a common sense ruling was going to come down against them. And, you know, they find the money for that kind of stuff. You know, I guess the other thing that's frustrating to me, Annie, on this whole deal is I couldn't get anybody in the media to ask those four counties, okay, you were shorted some billing. Why did the State Election Commission disallow some of your charges? I saw the list that the State Election Commission disallowed, and I tell you what it is. They were embarrassed at the things they tried to pass off to the taxpayer, and they should have been not charging it at all. You know, the taxpayer shouldn't pay for coffee and donuts. Taxpayers shouldn't pay for things that are already inherent to the operation of an election commission. Counties don't get to select what laws to follow, and the Supreme Court just reinforced all that. Again, it was common sense to some people, but, you know, what if they do? What are they going to do if I turn around and sue them for my legal fees? They got to come up with that money then.
Well, I hate to say this, but our county was one of them, and I happen to know the gentleman in charge, Scott Marshall, because when he moved here, my husband did his home inspection. I think what's really bothering him the most is that the fact that the voting office happens to be on John Galt Road.
Yeah. Well,
I think he had to take his anger out somewhere.
We knew from the beginning. I was ready to sign the contract with the State Election Commission, and the differential was going to be, $290,000, give or take. Say $300,000, $350,000. We were going to be on the hook. Well, they didn't sue me for the shortfall. They sued us for $2.5 million, 8 to 10 times the amount of the differential. That ticked me off. And I said, there's no way I'm going to let this. This is criminal. This makes me mad. And we knew it was frivolous. We knew what the ruling would be. We knew there was no way the Republican Party could run and conduct this, but we were willing to pay that amount. Well, instead of making it about a $250,000 or $300,000 amount, they sued for $2.5 million. They got greedy. I think you've got some people who like to get their name in the paper. They like to get a little bit of attention, and they got slapped down. Now they're embarrassed, and they're going to have to face a whole lot more out of this because they need to apologize to the citizens of Beaufort, and really they need to tell you where they came up with the money with to file a frivolous lawsuit. They also need to apologize to the citizens of South Carolina for even questioning and potentially jeopardizing something that's brought this kind of revenue stream to South Carolina and only does so every 4 years.
Well, that's true. That is very true. I hadn't thought about it on that angle. We also have the lawsuit going on between you and Florida, because Florida wanted to be first in the South against Republican rules. You want to talk
about And I got to make this the last question, y'all, so I'm going to do this CNN hit. But there was never a lawsuit. It was just basically a battle between me and the nine-person commission in Florida. And I was just making sure that we kept our first in the South spot. And my point to the folks in Florida, my point to the RNC was the rule number one I have is that I'm a carve-out state. South Carolina gets to go go first. We're one of the first four primary states, first four early voting states. And in order to keep rule number one, I got to break this rule that's way down the line about I can't move into January. Well, I was forced to move into January by Florida. So that battle's not over. Probably nothing will be done this year, obviously. The rules are set. But the next time around, I think there'll be more stringent rules against a state like Florida that forces us to move.
Yeah, before you go, I just want to tell you, I think that you are a role model for true conservatives.
Well, thank you, sir. You have stood firm,
even with the people in our own party. You have refused to budge on conservative values, and you can clearly see, at least in South Carolina, people moving more towards the conservative side, more than just us moving towards the other side. And that, my friend, you have made that happen, and for that, you are probably a great role model in my conservative values. I can't tell you how many times I tell Annie I want you to run for office.
Well, I got to tell you, I think y'all are a lot more of that than me. I mean, this is just who I am. It's who I've been all my life, and I'm gonna continue to carry that out. But y'all's effort at the grassroots has been a whole lot more effective because that's what's pushing our party to stay to the platform. I'm going to be aggressive on the platform in the legislature. I'm going to be aggressive on conservative values everywhere I go because, let's face it, they just make sense and they work. It's how we raise our families. Liberals can't say that. They don't give away 90% of their pantry. They don't give away 90% of the clothes they own, and they certainly don't write 90% of their money into checks. They want to use their balance as money. And so we got a spending problem. We got a principal problem in the state and the nation, and we got to get back to those roots. So I just appreciate what y'all are doing. Love y'all. God bless you, and I'll see you when I get down there, okay?
Yes,
you give them hell on CNN there for us, buddy.
Yes, sir, I will. Y'all take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Oh, man, that man is our president. Someday our president.
Jad Conley, our South Carolina GOP chair, and unfortunately he had to slip out because he's got a CNN interview. So he's probably running down the hallway right now into the studio. He's got himself a chock-full day. Tomorrow is the primary here in South Carolina, so I know he's running from station to station, studio to studio, and, you know, pressing the flesh and trying to get this all set
all
up
right,
for tomorrow.
Well, now that we got this out of the way, who are you voting for, Annie?
I know I'm going to piss off a lot of people, but I think last night it got solidified behind Gingrich.
Okay. We're going to wait and see how long before Tesla gets awake in the chat room there to start calling in. Well, you know, here's the thing. We Newt is a conservative. There's no doubt. I mean, my dislike because he supports the Patriot Act is one thing, but he has always been a conservative, and he has. I mean, Newt has never really wavered. Everyone changes an issue or two. But for 95%, he has maintained who he is. And, you know, as much as I'm not a big supporter of Newt, I think to criticize a person's life, if you're 50 or 60 years old and you can go back into someone's world, I think those who are doing the criticizing, I think we could pull up an awful lot of bad things on them as well, or maybe things that, whatever. So, I mean, I think in a lot of ways that's not fair territory. It's just greatly unfair to put ourselves in somebody's marriage. I mean, we don't go there. That's not my business. It's certainly not yours.
No, it's not. And I love the slap down. I mean, the second he started off with that question, I went, uh-oh. And I was just watching Newt's face going, and I was trying to read the emotions going through his face, but you could see the anger. The anger just inside his eyes and just the way he was looking, but he answered it so eloquently and so great. And his Santorum let me down. I mean, his answer to that was, you know, oh, yeah, well, he had to look at the pants, and it was like, just stop being a wimp.
Well, you see this in so many debates or discussions, it irritates me to no end, whereas either the moderator, such as Sissy, Larry King is one of them, or the candidate who's getting the questions asked, you know, they don't want to step on any toes, or they're like walking on eggshells. You know what? I like the guys who drop the gloves and get dirty. At least Bill Clinton was like that. At least it shows that they have some backbone, for God's sakes.
Yeah, that's what I think I like about it, because if you listen to anyone that see if they really do have backbone, he's the only one that continuously gets up there and just will slap someone down. I mean, Romney went wishy-washy over his stance on abortion. He went wishy-washy over his tax records. Santorum, instead of defending the Republican side against a Democratic attack like this marriage thing, went wishy-washy on it. And then even Ron Paul goes wishy-washy on international stuff. I mean, he's like waving on this and that. It's, I want someone up there that's going to have guts.
Well, yeah, I don't think Ron Paul went wishy-washy. I just think he stands 100% period to the Constitution, in which it was designed for 1776. But the bottom line is that, realistically, the changes we have to make in this world are, we didn't have bombs that could destroy big buildings then, and we do now. And the thing is with Romney, Romney's a politician. He fiddles the tune that the people want to dance to. In the next state, he plays the next music. You know, he'll be a rock and roll fan when, or a country fan, depending on whatever kind of music that the people or the crowd want to hear, Annie.
Yeah. No, I had a laugh, though, because every time they started to skip over Ron Paul, the crowd would go nuts. They would end up painting back to Ron Paul, and it's like, Ron Paul just said, like, of course, you know, what do you expect? And
well,
it just cracked me up.
As much as I was against a lot of the wars where Benin and et cetera, et cetera, if we pull back our troops strictly to the border, just watch and see how, in many, many ways, bad things really happen. And in many, many ways, people can affect us here by doing things there, whether it's oil attacks or it just doesn't matter. There are so many fragile interests we have abroad that could really cause a problem, not only economic, but all kinds of security problems for us.
Yeah,
therefore, that would tell anyone with a little bit of common sense that you can still adhere to the Constitution while protecting your interests abroad. But he's just, I don't know, I just think, with all due respect, I think Ron Paul in some ways is an idiot. Well, it is. Yeah, I am a constitutionalist. I believe in the Constitution. But we cannot pull all of our troops everywhere out. That is just so unrealistic. I almost don't believe that that's his real policy. I can't even believe that.
Well, we got a caller coming in. Let me bring this person in up online. And come on, here we go. Area code 212, you're on the line live. Who am I speaking to?
It's Kay Leslie Graves. How are you?
Hi, Leslie. How are you doing?
I'm sorry, I'm late. I'm just going to listen to you guys and see where you are.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm sorry.
No, just jump right in. Don't worry, talking about the debate. No sense in you're not.
Cool, Mike. You know I will. I got my invitation in my hand.
Well,
so.
my criticism here, Annie, is that, okay, I believe in the Constitution, just mm-hmm. like Ron Paul. I believe in domestic policies of getting rid of all this bureaucracy, blah, 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 et cetera. I believe in all that. But the bottom line is the Constitution says to protect the borders. That does not mean that somehow we just protect the borders. We sometimes have to protect abroad. And we have, for over 100 years, had troops in different places and stationed to protect our interests. And the idea that now, of all times, in the almost the volatile times, especially when the Middle East is changing, we don't know if good leaders are going to take over or bad leaders. The idea of bringing all these troops back, I can't even believe somebody running for president would, even if he believed in it, he should lie and say he's not. I mean, that's just, it's crazy.
No, it's people don't understand, though. What happens internationally does affect us domestically, but it's not. You're not just talking about big business with a big picture. It affects you on your daily lives, and people don't realize that. You know, how our currency goes affects how you pay for things in the grocery store. How import taxes go will affect how you go into, say, for example, Wally World just to buy a pair of jeans. Things that happen on the international market, the price of oil will affect you at the gas pump. If it affects you at the gas pump, it's going to affect the price of milk, because it's going to affect the transportation costs and the manufacturing costs. It all is tied in. When we say we're a global economy, actually, we have always been, but we need to protect ourselves domestically by paying attention to what happens internationally and protecting ourselves domestically also.
Well, not to mention, I mean, in many, many ways, I don't really have the words to say what I'm actually trying to say, but I just can't believe somebody would really, really believe that. I understand that it is written in the Constitution, but, you know, the Constitution is basically a document, and it was written in 1776, where we didn't have a television where there's a leader from another country calling the end of existence of America. and many other type of things. Okay, 9/11 was really not a major concern then. And we have to adapt and adjust. That doesn't mean we may become a police state. It doesn't mean that we give government more and more power. It doesn't mean we give ourselves less authority as taxpayers. But it does mean we have to make smart decisions and elect smart leaders that will protect this country. And if Ron Paul truly is a believer in the full Constitution of protecting the states of America from invasion, not only do we secure the borders better, but we also remember that sometimes our borders are abroad. And as much as we stick our nose in a lot of affairs that don't belong, an awful lot of countries want us in their country because it helps protect them as well.
Exactly. It has to be the Ronald Reagan, well, I don't say has to be, but I prefer the Ronald Reagan way. You know, show strength, and by showing strength, you prevent things from happening. And that, in order to do that, you need your presence in other countries. So you have to maintain those bases in friendly nations. It helps protect that nation, and it also helps us by showing strength.
And I'd like to add to that, if I
sure.
may. Well, not only do we need strength in other countries, but, you know, my my Earth Moon books, you know, Blog Talk Radio show is about a strong U.S. presence in space. China has its own space station, while the United States pays Russia to lift us into low Earth orbit. And therefore, I think that if we get a president like our current president who thinks that the space program should be, you know, sidelined and held to a year-to-year budget, we just had a show on that this week. If we, you know, we're going to end up behind the eight ball. You know what happened to the Phobos Grunt mission. The Russian satellite unfortunately crashed into the ocean. And, you know, these are the people. And also they... you know, our so-called partners, the Russians, someone in their government accused the United States of sabotage. Meanwhile, China has its own space station, and Ara and Mitt Romney is saying that he wouldn't spend money on space development and the U.S. presence in space. So, you know, I wanted to extend your point. Not only do we have to be strong on the water, on the shore, but we also have to be strong in the next 5 or 10 years in space. Anybody
exactly.
disagree with that?
No, exactly. Look what happened to our astronauts that almost got stranded in the space station because we didn't have a vehicle to send up and rescue.
Okay, you know about that. That's great.
Right.
Yeah, we
also
have
don't
problem.
Have a vehicle if we send our guys up again on another mission and they need supplies. We do not have a vehicle to send the supplies to them.
We can't even send them up. We have to pay the Russians who are accusing us of sabotaging their joint mission with China. I understand China had a small piggyback satellite on the Russian mission.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hear the Chinese talking about it because I guess they didn't want anybody to know. But
no.
You know, imagine what would happen in the next 10 years should we get a president from Massachusetts who decides that America does not need to be strong in space, okay, and sidelines the space program as it seems to be sidelined right now. And we have China with its own space station, the International Space Station, with people accusing us of sabotaging their missions, which we totally supported and paid for. You know, I'm right with you on that, Annie. Thank you very much.
Well, not only that, we also have an aging satellite fleet. And as these satellites start to go down, there goes your GPS, there goes your cell phone, there goes all the defense technology. So we've got to be able to maintain a good good interspace policy.
Excellent.
How
point.
Are we going to maintain our own defenses
know,
if we don't have satellites up?
Excellent
Leslie,
point.
Leslie,
a lot of people forget
Leslie,
that.
Leslie, you bring up a really good point, Leslie, is that the fact
that's
if we
Leslie,
continue
everybody.
To express... well, if we continue to work on technology like you want up in space, we can protect. I mean, we can have some type of Star Wars or Star Trek technology, but we can't if we're not investing in it. I mean, we're
Absolutely.
Wasting just so much money and other bullshit, and it's just this is giving up on space technology. It's almost we all may as well just have a nice game of Russian roulette.
Yeah, and meanwhile,
we're gonna end up shooting ourselves in the foot first.
You know, I'm not sure where you folks lie along the political spectrum. I know that you're conservatives, but you know, the information just came out about Romney's huge offshore hidden wealth on the Cayman Islands. Which he hasn't taxed by our country. And also, You know, I don't know if you know when Mitt Came to Town is out now on the internet. Anybody seen that here? Has anybody seen that?
Oh, yeah, that's not been a secret as far as the media just broke this, but Romney having money in offshores has been going on. His dad was a governor here in Michigan. They've got a bundle stashed away everywhere, that dirty dog. No, I mean, and they're entitled to do it, but at least tell people. Don't hide it.
Well, not only that. I mean, here's a person, you know, having a person who is so out of touch with what's going on in America, I'm thinking that, you know, people of that ilk, and I'm not against rich people. I want to be rich myself and, you know, do stuff. But I'm thinking that people of that ilk in the hot seat as the president of the United States have no way of relating to the fact that people are suffering really bad. Okay, if you're doing really, really well while everybody else is suffering, I got to say that you're on one side of the seesaw and we're on the other. So there's my point about Romney. I think he should go back home and do what he does best.
All right. We got another caller in on the line. I think I know who this is. Area code 772. You're live.
Well, thank you, Annie. This is Ed Kessler. And
that's
he is asleep.
Hey, listen, before we go any further, I do want to say thank you to a lot of people out there, especially my co-host, Cool Mike. Those that have been listening to the show know that I've lost one of my pets, 16 and a half years old. Her name was Kismet, an absolutely beautiful, loving kitty. And I'm not a talker on the telephone. I don't do telephone, really, honestly. Normally I get on the phone, it's like, hi, bye, yeah, what do you want? You know, I'm going. But he sat with me the last night she was alive, and I had her on my lap, and I was petting her and talking to Cool Mike. And I really want to thank everyone who sent me special wishes, prayers, and blessings. And I want to thank Cool Mike. I also want to thank Thomas, who's not in the chat room, because he was keeping in contact with me. And it's been a difficult time. And she passed away quietly on a Wednesday night. And
sorry to hear.
Well, my husband's made a beautiful, beautiful coffin, and we're just waiting for the rest of it to dry so we can layer in the ground. Thankfully, it's cold out here, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, we'll try. It's eight degrees here in Michigan. Jumping back into the point, I don't want to get away on what something Leslie mentioned. Is that
that's Kay Leslie, cool, Mike. Kay Leslie.
Oh,
Kay
Leslie.
Oh, I stand corrected, Kay Leslie. But
all right, thank you.
You know, let's look at World War One. And think of the technology that transformed from World War One to World War Two, and let's think of Desert Storm, that basically we watched on CNN, the things that were taking place. Technology and space are so vital. I mean, just for us to ignore this is suicide, and we need a president who's not going to waste our money, but a president who's really it's almost like to help us become energy efficient. We need a president who's also very committed to space, and we need the American people to be committed to space, because from the short term to the long run, it does save us money, even while we're investing in this. And it makes us secure when we can provide our own electricity, when we know from space we can see what's exactly going on, and we don't have to depend on maybe a $10 snitch, who we know is always inaccurate.
Exactly right. Exactly right. You
know,
I mean,
look at the good things we've done in space. I mean, this is, oh, man, I need to be elected president. I'll tell you, I would clean house.
Well, I want to welcome everyone into the chat room. We've got Beverly is in. We've got John Svicky, John. We've got, of course, Kay Leslie. Mary, hi, Mom. And we got Michael Magic and my buddy Rick. I don't know where Rick parked his tank today, but he's out there. And we got Tesla. Of course, Tesla's on the line. Tesla, you weigh in.
Yes. Yes, Annie, I'm right here.
Okay, what's your take on the United States getting out of the space program? Personally, I'd like to see a public-private enterprise. If we do this as a partnership, the budget's going to be far more open, because now, you know, we've got the public involved, so it's going to involve funds that have to be, you know, put before Congress, you know, the bills and appropriations and everything. But if you do it as a public-private partnership, something along the way that the military does it for, like, some of their equipment.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
I think we can do it that way.
We're on the way there because the federal government is so broke that, you know, because of the vacuum of funding, private industry is stepping up and is ready, is just waiting for the government, you know, somebody in the bullpen seat to say, hey, all right, you know what, we're open for business. Here's our bids. This is what we want to do. Submit your proposals. So we're going to get there the hard way. But, you know, I take every opportunity I can to remind people about something right above us that's so obvious. I mean, everyone has a cell phone, as you mentioned, in their pocket. And if it wasn't for a satellite and the technology of space-related industries, we would not have this type of lifestyle.
No, as a matter of fact, we wouldn't be doing the Blog Talk as we are now.
Exactly right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yep. Now, listen, talking about science and technology, I don't know if anyone caught this, and Tesla, I'm sure you know about this. If not, I'm going to drop this on you. The FBI wants to create this new biometric database. Has anyone heard about that?
Well, they have several biometrics databases.
Yes, it's a five-part thing on this biometric if I can get this right now, biometric database. Try to say that three times fast. It's going to start off, if they wanted to stack it up with and law enforcement, you know, that's obvious, but they also want to go with international agencies. Now, can you imagine your biometric information going to Al-Qaeda? Whoa, this stuff is getting scary out here. It includes face recognition, which a lot of police departments already use. So in other words, if you got a mugshot or something like that, it can scan and it will recognize the face by features like your cheekbones, the space between your eyes, the length of your nose, and things like that. Certain things that are just permanent, unless you get hit with a baseball bat. Iris scans, that's another one. They want to have included iris scans.
But what's your take on all that, Annie?
To me, it seems another huge invasion of privacy.
Well,
I mean,
okay. I mean, if you look at the way,
let's take a look at all this. First of all,
what privacy do you have now? You know, you have
all.
Well, go ahead, Tesla.
See, first of all, if you don't think that they're doing this already, then you must be living in a cave. The fact of the matter is, I think that we're not told that of those kind of those achievements that the FBI and our enforcement authorities already have.
Exactly.
Worldwide.
Exactly.
I mean, it's already out there. This is not new. Maybe it's new in the print. Maybe it's new in news. But come on, that stuff has been around for years. They just have – why is it – and, you know, the mention was made earlier about our space program. You know, many, many things that came from the space program – that first came from the space program, finally came down to us as Americans. All those folks, they knew about all that stuff for years, but they worked it in our space program, and then ultimately it got revealed to citizens. That was one of the great benefits of the American space program, an American exceptionalism concept that Barack is trying to kill us with. The fact that he wants to get rid of the space program because it worked in favor of America.
Well,
that's why.
You know, I mean, not that you're talking to me, but you know, we if we're going to be on the winning side of this, and I think I'm joining. I announced to everyone that I was a conservative a few weeks ago.
I don't think we have to.
I mean, you know, yeah, and I don't. I mean, let's take the high road. If somebody's going to say, "Oh, somebody's trying to destroy the country," the man is not trying to destroy the country. He's trying to do his best, which we happen to disagree with. Okay, just like I'm sure Mitt Romney has good intentions, but guess what? No thanks. Okay, so if it's time for Barack Obama to go, I mean, who's going to go down in history as the name callers, the mud throwers? Let's go we have enough issues. We have the issues. If we could stick to the issues, Tesla, you know, and, you know, so many of my very good friends are name calling, mudslinging, and I'm looking at that. You know what? If that's what you have to do to make your issue, then you don't really have an issue. Okay, the point is the man has a certain philosophy, which is against American exceptionalism. We all know that. And if we feel exceptional as Americans and we feel that we have a special place in this wonderful country, then, and we ought to maintain that leadership, I just want to ask you all, let's rise up and not get dirty. Let's stay clean, because in the end, you know, we're going to win this. Okay, so
exactly. I think that's precisely why Newt is now surging ahead in the polls. The more you try to sling the mud at him, the more he turns around and says, you know, he puts his hands up like last night. Is this called for? You know, why are you doing this only to Republicans? You know, what about the other side of the fence? You know, everyone else has their bruises. They've got their backgrounds. They've got stuff in their past. You're not digging it up on the progressives, the liberals, or the Democrats. You're only doing that to Republicans. And the when he says that, it resonates with the listeners and viewers. And it turns around and says, well, yeah, why is it? Why do you have someone like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you know, calling the Tea Parties racist and everything else? We got another caller coming in. Let me bring this person online. Area code 906. You're here live with Southern Sense. I'm your host, Annie. And who am I speaking to?
Hi, Annie. This is Michael Magic.
Hi, Mr. Magic. How you doing?
Mr. Magic, good. Welcome. How's everything up in Ishpeming?
10 to 15 below zero right now.
Mm.
Oh, it's about 60 degrees out here.
Ugh.
Ooh, and I'm south of Myrtle Beach.
Gee, thanks, Danny.
Okay, what's your take on this?
Well, I have to tell you, it all comes down to, you know, the destruction of America. It all has to do with a one-world attempt, you know, and the bringing down of America. We are a cancer right now, being eaten alive from the inside out. And, you know, our Congress, our mainstream media, our president, and many other entities are only puppets doing what they are told and or bought and paid for.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And you know what? My switchboard is lighting up today. Hey, people are really hot and heavy about this. Now, this is a South Carolina call. You're live on the air with Southern Sense. Who's here in South Carolina with me?
Hi. This is Rick.
Hi, Rick.
How's it going?
All right. Where's your tank?
All right. Parked out front. Got the murder running in case we got to go real quick.
Okay. What's your take?
I'm thinking, you know, like this, you know, there's two ways we can do this. You know, we could either do it like the man was saying, we could do this clean, and we could do this in the you know, ballot booth, you know, with our votes, or you know, we can do it in other ways, but it might get a little messy, if you know what I mean. You know, get dirty, you know, come down to it, just take matters in our own hands. I mean, you know, our founding fathers did it, and you know.
Well, I don't think we're ready for open insurrection, and that's not something I would really want to tout. I would rather try to work from within the system and, you know, cut out the cancer. I think that's what is going to be the best route. You know, get people like Alan West elected, like Tim Scott. Good conservatives like Jim DeMint. We need to get more people like that so we can work from the inside out. And that's why grassroots,
right,
things like us, whether you're on Blog Talk or whether or not you're a Tea Party activist, by working from the inside, going out,
mm-hmm,
I think we can actually not just cut the cancer out, but cure the patient, honestly. It's going to take a long time. I mean, cancer treatments take time. And it's not going to, maybe not in my lifetime, hopefully in my grandchildren's lifetime, we'll be back to what our founders originally thought. But you got to remember, they started this cancer on us back with Teddy Roosevelt, you know, first progressive.
Right.
And
right,
it's been growing ever since then. So now you're talking, what, more than 100 years?
Mm-hmm.
Well, more than 100 years. So it may take us another 100 to get back to where we started from.
Man,
our lines are lighting up. God bless you people today. We got another caller coming in, area code 816. You're live on the air with Southern Sense. I'm Annie. Who am I speaking to?
Wow, Annie, you still haven't figured out what part of the world I'm from.
Oh, TD, I'm sorry. But you know what?
I still love you anyway, so no explanations needed.
Were your ears ringing?
Well, welcome, Thomas.
Really? Was you talking about me or something?
Yeah, because I had said thank you to you and to Cool Mike for all the support and love you gave me when my poor little kismet was slowly passing, and I really appreciate it. I said thank you openly on the air.
Well, you're welcome, and it's, you know, see, how do I explain this? A lot of times people think that, okay, if you're not related to a person, why should you give a rip about other people? For some strange reason, and maybe it's just because of what God has brought me through in my life, whenever I hear about a loss of life, it upsets me. I don't have to be related to that person. And even though I've not yet met you, and a lot of the other hosts who support me own BTR, I feel a camaraderie with you guys, and it's real and genuine. So, you know, when I do stuff like that, that's just me being real.
I really appreciate that. You know, and what I like is that, you know, when you haven't met someone before, but they still feel empathy for you, and they take time out of their busy lives just to make sure that you're okay. And that's what was special about you, and especially, you know, poor Mike. I can't thank him enough.
I didn't do anything. We just sat around and talked politics all day, so it wasn't really. But okay, now that we got all the mutual progressives and all this stuff done and everything, Thomas, weigh in. Let's get politics.
Oh, well, easy.
Get them hands dirty.
Knocked it out of the ballpark. And he put John Green in his place. I feel bad for the guy, but you know what? He didn't have to open a debate with that question. Especially when they're drumming up something from 15 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. You know, how many people have gone through a divorce that didn't have something nasty in it? I mean, me, myself, when I was divorcing my first husband, he tried to run the process server over. You know, everyone has something.
Wow.
Yeah. Everyone has something in their background, you know, in their life that they don't really want to have come forward. But if it does, hey, listen, you know, it happened, that was then, this is now, let's get on. And you know divorce, of course you're going to have someone making, you know, weird accusations like you had 15 girlfriends, you slept around all over the place. Hey, that's called you know, it's called life.
Yep.
But we were talking about the cancer within our political system, as well as the media, that has caused stuff like this, the progressive media that has allowed these attacks on Republicans, and how are we going to cure it? And a lot of people had brought up some interesting thoughts. Like Rick had mentioned, you know, open revolt, but I don't think we've hit that point yet. I think we can still work from within the system by, you know, even these type of shows, you know, conservative shows, if we can get more of them out there, and more conservatives out there talking, I think we can then turn around and take over mainstream media. We had muted a couple of people. Let's start going through the room here. And Tesla, weigh in on that. What's your thought?
Well, I think, you know, I learned something yesterday, which I never knew before about Newt, was that he's a convert to Catholicism. I didn't know that before yesterday.
Yeah, when he married when he married his current wife, that's when he converted, because she is Catholic also.
He was. He was just on EWTN.
And I did not
just on EWTN. Like he was on EWTN like a couple of days ago, giving his big spiel on that Tesla.
Yeah, I didn't know any of that, to be honest with you. And to me, that does frame how I view presidential candidates. That may sound prejudiced to you, but I don't frankly care, because it to me it makes a difference. And so now we have two Catholics who are running for president on the Republican ticket, and I like them both. So now, you know, I don't know how people feel, but this is how I feel. You give me two conservatives, and they're essentially equal, but one is of a religion that I'm from, and the other one is not from that same religion, I'm much more likely to favor the guy who is from the same religion I'm in. That's the way human nature is. That's the way people are. And so when I So I got a different perspective now on Newt than I had 2 days ago, I have to say.
Well, I kind of like look at it a little bit differently. The fact that he committed to a religion after going through his previous divorces and all of his, you know, philandering or whatever, the fact that he turned around and has committed himself to a religion, I couldn't care less if it was Judaism, if it was Presbyterian or whatever, but the fact he says, listen, my life has gone off the rail. I need to bring myself back onto a centered,
right.
You know, centered course, not a central, but a centered, you know, meaning internally centered, a course, and renew my convictions, my true
yes.
conservative core convictions. That says a lot to me. So
me
once you look at him that way, then you're not going to see what happened back in 1999, because that was then, and that's not likely to happen again, because he has, you know, found a conviction in his life, something worthy to stand for.
That's right.
How
I
look at it.
Yep, I agree.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Yep. Mr. Magic, your turn.
Well, there's so much to talk about. You know, there's so many things going on out there. And I guess at this point, the best thing I can say is for everyone to prepare for the worst and pray for the best.
Oh, that's true. That is true. We're just going to keep on doing a lot of prayers and hope that this will be, this November, we can then completely evict the Obamas from the White House. Mm. Wow. And now, Kay Leslie.
Well, no, I find a lot of my colleagues and my seniors in political thought talk about the philosophy of the divergent political views that we have in the country. But for some reason, we don't talk about the corporate hand and what the Supreme Court has done, for example, with the Citizens United decision, saying that the corporation is an individual like you or I. Okay, anybody who is foolish enough to think that a branch of government can decide that a corporate entity is a biological person or is equal to a biological person, I've been doing my research, Annie, and a lot of conservatives like me have had a problem with the World Trade Organization and you know, the U.S. allowing corporations to become multinational corporations, meaning that they have tax incentives here, okay, but they can take their wealth from our labor, okay, and make money all over the world and hide it offshore in the Cayman Island or in Switzerland. I mean, I got to say that the fact that the senator was unaware of NAFTA, GATT, and, you know, TPA, which Clinton negotiated, and only because of Newt Gingrich being on the other side of the aisle arguing down Clinton did we experience unprecedented growth at that time. Okay, so I got to keep bringing up the hidden hand of the corporation. Okay, it's all right for us all to talk about what somebody's influences from their religion, but finally, I want to know how much buy-off do they have from corporations to, you know, accept and to, you know, do industry, do business in their district and to go to Washington and say, hey, I need this for my district, which is not in the national best will.
Well,
okay,
that was one of the questions I had asked Chairman Chad Conley of our South Carolina GOP about these new PACs, and he looked at it from a different point of view. He said, hey, listen, they're bringing money into our state. The millions and millions of dollars that have flowed into our state that would not have done without them. He's looking at it in a different way, and he's looking at it where it was putting people to work.
The PAC money is all temporary. That money is just to do a media blitz against our favorite candidates.
Yeah, but
it also adds
to our tax base. And if it adds to our tax base, it's going to increase our state budget.
So temporarily. How many people are getting hired permanently from a campaign for president of the United States? I mean, come on.
That's
true. That's more of an illusion, what Mr. Conley said. That's more of an illusion because what it in fact does, it's putting money not into mom and pop shops. It's putting money into the big corporations, and they're all tied in. So just the idea. But you know something, Kay Leslie, we know the politicians have been bribed. But you know, so has the there are three branches. All three, including the judicial, has been compromised. Just this idea that the politicians are on the take but not the judges, and clearly, I don't care if they're supreme judges or local judges, is that it is very clear that these people are all on the take. Not every single one of them, but the people making huge decisions. And when a big court battle comes up, they make very sure that it falls in the hands of this particular judge. Whereas 100 years ago, we know, at least it may have happened, but not as often. And the bottom line is, we need to get this back in the hands of the people, and that includes the Supreme Court. The decisions that these people are making are more decisions against the people, and it's more for everything but the people. They can pour in $1 billion for a month or so, but once you leave, you still basically have your rights are still taken away, and it's still in the hands of the bad guy.
Precisely. Does everyone know that Montana stood up to that Supreme Court decision? Montana said, no, we're going to keep our anti-corporate, takeover of the political process out of our state. Montana stood up to the Supreme Court and said that, that PAC money could not be used to buy elections in Montana. Okay, and I think that, I'm not sure of the name of the person who just spoke, but no matter who we have, okay, as long as the lobbyists that represent corporations can go up and say, listen, we're going to put this much money, so much more now because of the wonderful Supreme Court, into your account. We're going to buy the election for you. What about a small person like K. Leslie Graves, Tesla, Annie? You are not equal to the corporation. You can say noot, noot, noot all you want, but if Romney has more money, he's going to buy the media time, and, I think that he's falling because his competency compared to Newt Gingrich is so shabby. He's just such a shabby candidate, such a shallow person. I just want to listen to what can be said about the fact that the corporation is has taken over our courts, like the gentleman said, definitely influencing our political decisions. And that is what is, I think, weakening our national resolve and also, our ability to get things done as a nation.
Well, Thomas has a question. Thomas, what's your input?
Oh, actually, I don't have a question. I have a comment.
Okay.
And this is my comment. This right here, this type of discussion, is one of the things that, just for lack of a better term, it irritates me with conservatives. Okay, we know what the problems are. Folks, offer solutions. And the reason why corporations got to the place where they could influence the process, because conservatives decided, you know what, I'm going to just mind my own business. I don't need to be involved because my life at this moment is happy-go-lucky. Until we reached where we're at now, we're at a critical point. Now we're suddenly looking up and like, oh, my God, they're doing this, they're doing this. Well, they've been doing that very thing for the last 4, 5, 6, 7 decades, but yet nobody came forward. Now, this is because everything that's said, I agree with 1,000%, because, K. Leslie, you're right. But you know what? It's beyond talking about what's wrong. What are we going to do to change it? Because you're right also where the state and the people, we still have the power. But, guys, I'm sick and tired of only talking, hearing about the problems. Yes, we know what's wrong. Are we coming up with ideas? Are we forming think tanks to do something? Are we actively engaging the battle instead of just talking about the problems? Well, that's what I'm talking about.
But isn't talking about it by putting it on the table? A lot of people, like, for example, I didn't hear anyone mention the problem with the runaway corporation, which, by the way, at the last minute, the federal government, no matter who was in charge, had to say, too big to fail. Okay, we don't know what's going to happen if the banking system fails. So let's bail you out with K. Leslie Graves, Tesla and Annie's money. Okay, I mean, we bailed these corporate, you know, BAS, you know, with, you know how to spell the rest of the word. We bailed them out, and they're laughing all the way to the bank with record profits. So to say that we're not doing anything, I mean, to put it on the table, my show and this show today is talking about the fact that America is is losing. Okay, we're not losers. We're not going to lose. We're going to take our government back, not only from the liberal left, but also from the corporate hand that is not operating in the public's interests, but in their own private interests.
That's true. Well, we have to separate business from government. The two should not be mixing at all. I just wanted to make a little notation here. Those that know me know that I was up at the South Carolina Tea Party Convention over the weekend, and believe it or not, I was quoted in Al Jazeera. I just posted that link up inside the
camera. Are you
serious? I'm serious. I'm serious. Hey, no, Richard.
Excuse me? Wow.
Annie, ladies and gentlemen, I have enjoyed being on this show as co-host. You have a nice day.
You said you got interviewed by Al Jazeera?
Wow.
No, I did not. I was not interviewed by them. Don't confuse the two. I said I was quoted by them. We had a speaker out there, Michael George. He's a Texas billionaire.
Uh-huh.
And you're talking about corporations getting behind into politics. This is a leading perfect example. He's the new Ross Perot.
Right.
And he was up there talking about, you know, things, and he started to sound logical, but he droned on so monotonely, very boring. But finally, towards the end of his speech, he's saying, but you've got to go out for, and he's a Newt Gingrich guy. I think he may be the money behind Newt. I'm not sure. But he's saying, you must. And all of a sudden, you don't do that to a Tea Party person. And two of my friends sitting here in front of me from a local Tea Party were turning around and were starting to challenge him. And, of course, you know me. I'm not going to sit quiet. I don't sit quiet. So, of course, my big mouth started to go as I felt my cheeks turning red. And I shouted out something to the effect with, you cannot tell the Tea Party who to vote for, you know, type of thing. And when the second I opened my big mouth, of course, it's not dulcet, you know, sweet little dulcet tones. I bellowed this out. All the media came running over and were writing down the quote and everything. Well, when Al Jazeera originally put it in there, they just put it as one woman said. One woman shouted out. And now I turned around and I challenged the guy that wrote the article. And I says, you're too chicken shit to have walked over to find out who I was when I made that statement. Yeah,
go,
I did.
It's okay to be quoted by them. After all, we have to thank Joseph Stalin for coining the phrase American exceptionalism. So don't worry. We are exceptional.
Wait. Joseph Stalin coined that phrase?
Yes, he did. Do your research.
Okay.
It came from Joseph Stalin. It came as a knock.
Let me finish
yes,
the story, though. Because I did challenge him. So he sent me an email back saying, all right, I corrected the article.
Okay.
And what he did was he split my statement into two parts. So he has part of it to me where he names me, so on and so forth. And it's paragraph 12 of the article. I posted up inside the chat room. But the second half of what I said, he said another person said. That's not true. I said the whole thing. It was all me. So I turned around, I blasted him back, which he hasn't answered. And I said, you dumb idiot. You can't even get that right.
Now he is scared of you.
By the time tonight rolls around, the progressive side of BTR is going to be talking about, and now look, you got Annie working for Al Jazeera.
We got another caller in the room here. Cypher 11, you're on the air live with Sudden Sense on Blog Talk. I'm your host, Annie, and my co-host, Cool Mike, is with you. Who am I speaking to?
Texas sucks the chrome off of a 57 Chevy bumper.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, we got one for every caller. But you know, here's the amazing thing is that the internet has brought us exactly what Kay Leslie was talking about earlier. If we're not involved in all this technology, people are reading about what Annie and many other people think in the audience abroad now. And this is that's just kind of going back to what he said. That's just earmarks and boot stamps exactly what he's or rubber stamps exactly what he said. Without technology like this, I mean, people don't even know that individuals in the audience objected. But I mean, because we have this type of technology, This is exactly where we're at, and this is more of the reason to continue to fight, because you know what? We all like the internet. I think it's wonderful, but we're at the ground floor level. The internet is in diapers, and God knows what it can do once it's driving that 57 Chevy that the last douchebag was talking about.
Well, it's very true because what I found at the convention, majority of the reporters there, until the presidential candidate started to show up and you had the big guns like that, you had more international reporters walking around. I was interviewed by someone from an Australian paper, and I didn't catch the Australian paper's name. The guy said he was going to send me the article. But yesterday, when I was in the park with the Newt Gingrich thing, I was there with the guys from the Independence Fund. That was my main reason for being there, not for the candidate, but to give these guys support, because they've got more things coming up that I will be talking about in the future. Matter of fact, we're going to have a show with just these vets on, which would be fantastic. But most of the reporters I saw there, outside of CNN, were a lot of international reporters. And, oh, God, it just reminded me. I will probably end up showing up somewhere on ABC in the next day or two, because Gwen Ifill did do an interview with me. So, sorry, guys.
Jesus, Annie, what the hell is going on around here?
Great. selling out to the liberal media.
ABC, CNN, Al Jazeera.
I think
my time has passed, Kay Leslie. There used to be a time where Kay Leslie, Cool Mike, was the man on BTR. Annie's just taken over now. Al Jazeera, ABC. Annie, I hope we're not interrupting your media time with this show. You know, we wouldn't want to interfere with any of your interviews now, hotshot.
Oh, God.
I just happened to be standing in the right place at the right time. Oh, man.
Who interviewed you, Annie?
It was Gwen Ifill.
Who was it?
Gwen Ifill.
Who is that?
She's a reporter, and sometimes she does anchor. She's petite, young black woman, very pretty. Of course she has to be pretty if she's on air, obviously. I've met her before, so she had recognized me, and that's when I started talking to her. And then she said, "Do you mind?" I said, no problem. You know, I was just talking to her because I knew her. You know, just say, walked up to say, "Hi, how you doing, blah, blah, blah." Just catch up on little bullshit. And just, it blossoms, you know. So, you know, you never know where you're going
to
be.
Most certainly
did. Bring her over to the right side from the dark side.
No, maybe I may convert some of them to our side. Ooh.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, and I think this was Kay Leslie's point regarding when you said about getting rid of Obama. It's not just Obama. We've got to get rid of Democrats, Republicans, monkeys, douchebags, and we need to get people who are focused on the United States. And
that's right.
We the people. It's not just Obama. I mean, we get rid of Obama and everyone who he supports. That doesn't solve the problem. That, in many ways, continues on with the problem. We need to eliminate all of them, just like Mr. Connolly's talking about. He is not going to compromise with liberal Republicans. They either think conservatively with a person's dollar as a taxpayer, or they simply won't be nominated by the local party.
Exactly, and precisely. And I think Chad will definitely be the person to talk about that. Matter of fact, when I was there, there was a couple people from FreedomWorks there, and they were trying to work with him to get some of the rhinos out. Because what happened was in the 60s and in through the 80s, a lot of the people currently serving inside our state Senate were originally Democrats. And when they saw the state turning red, they said, we're going to lose our seat. So they switched parties. They are still Democrats in action, but they call themselves Republicans. And one of the things he wants to do is work on getting other people in there, get those seats, you know, get them out, get the rhinos out, and get true conservatives in there. And FreedomWorks was there trying to work with Chad on that. Matter of fact, the person, I have his business card, I got to call him. He said he wants to come on the show, too. We're going to have a lot of good guests coming up here, Mike.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Do you remember the gentleman's name, who it was?
No, I've got a stack of cards here. I got to go through it and, geez, oh, man, I can't remember.
Another question.
What's that?
Another question, because I might know who it was. Was this individual that you was talking to who gave you the car, was he black or white?
White.
Okay, so it wasn't the other individual that was there with FreedomWorks. Because Pastor C.L. Bryant was in South Carolina at the event as well.
Oh.
He's a fellow with FreedomWorks as well. Runaway right. Slave.
Yeah, no, I did not see him. I did not see him there at all, honestly.
Well, there, but I don't know where he was, but he, because when I interviewed, was it, no, when I talked to him last week, he told me that he was going to be there for the convention and the big shindig party that you guys had. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, no, as a matter of fact, I can't seem to find his card. I can't seem to find his card at all. But I did speak with Reverend Apostle Claver, I'm sorry, out of Texas.
That's a good guy. That dude's off the chain.
Oh, man. If anyone has never heard, if no one has heard Apostle Claver speak, go to YouTube and watch some of his videos. You will turn around and jump up and shout that, yes, someone finally has it. Someone finally understands. You've got to watch Apostle Claver up on YouTube, and he will be an upcoming guest. Like I said, I've got so many different little pieces of paper and notes around. I'm just like, Anyway, we're coming down to our last 20 minutes. I wanted to make a mention. Mike, you love music, right? I think I lost Cool Mike. I think I lost my co-host. All right. I don't know if anyone knows, Etta James passed away.
Just heard.
Yeah, and I mean, I love Etta, and I just wanted to let people know that at the end of the show, I'm going to be playing one of her songs on
Excellent.
Yeah. So that's going to be fantastic coming up. But meanwhile, we are going to have to definitely work, like we said, from grassroots, doing things like this, but not just shows like this, but we have to still write letters to the editor, because a lot of people, when they buy the newspaper, they'll glance through the front page. A lot of them will turn immediately to the editorial page to see what thoughts are going on out there. You got to write those letters to the editor. You write your letters to your elected officials. I was told that here in South Carolina, if 50 people, all you need is just 50 people to write to one legislator about a specific issue, they will change your vote, their vote, in favor of your letters. Do you know how simple it is? That is how simple it is. What do you think?
I just understand.
Oh, go ahead.
I disagree, okay? Because these people get paid tens of thousands of dollars to vote certain ways, and 50 people is not going to change their greed. I'm sorry.
It did in South Carolina just last week. There was an issue coming up. There was an I-95 Carter bill where they wanted the federal government to basically do an Agenda 21 up I-95 Carter. That's the Highway 95 that goes north-south. And a lot of it has poor rural areas. A lot of it's farmland. A lot of it used to have industry there that was forced out of the state. And they wanted the federal government to do an Agenda 21 up this corridor. And Governor Haley vetoed it. So it went back to the state legislature. And it looked like it was going to pass. Well, we got out there. We started the letter writing, we started the calling, the faxing, the knocking on doors, and within 1 week, we turned it around from the veto being overridden to the veto being sustained almost unanimously. So, yes, it worked. It worked here last week.
You must be one of the honest ones, then.
It worked here last week. And Rick Rosario knows what I'm talking about. He knows that we had that I-95 corridor, the veto was sustained, and we did it. And it was not PAC money. It was no donations. It was just a matter of citizens, concerned citizens, just getting a hold of their legislatures going, this is messed up. You know, we do not want Agenda 21 here. And we changed it.
Like
Amen.
I said, he is one of the few people, then, that still has morals and values and cares about America, because the majority of our government does not.
Well, it's not just a few people. It was a lot of votes that we turned over, not just a few. I mean, if you consider that you have a state legislature, and I'm trying to remember how many people are inside our state legislature. I have the figures over here. Let's see. Trying to see, where is that information? It's something like about 150. And if you had the majority of them going to override the veto, you know how many votes that had to be that we had to change? That was over, I think it was like 78 or so that we had to change. That's a lot of votes. And to do it within a matter of just a couple of weeks, Hey, that takes a lot. And Cool Mike is back in the house. What happened, Mike?
Oh, you don't want to know, Annie.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, stupid idiot in front of me in the car honking the horn got out of the car, dumbass. Biggest mistake she'll ever make. Anyway, we're back in the car and we're moving a long time. You know, these some people are just, we need people to quit being so rude. And there was an elderly lady, obviously, trying to cross the street. The weather is not good here. And although a person has a legal right, I mean, the hell with that. I don't care. That's just ridiculous. You almost run over an old lady in a walker who's got groceries. I mean, I stopped and helped her carry the groceries. End of story. I guess that'll be my good story when I run for office sometime. We'll have this old lady who'll be like, he helped me carry the groceries. But anyway, I'm back. Back on the topic and get our hands dirty.
Listen, earlier I was starting to bring up this thing about the FBI and these biometric databases. You know, the invasion, I think it's a massive invasion on our privacy the government's still trying to do. Here's the latest also, that they're trying to get black boxes in all new cars. You know what that does? It's going to tell them how fast you're going, where you're driving, and so on and so forth. Talk about another massive invasion of your privacy.
But now according to them, it's just for information.
Oh, yeah. The slippery slope, I still say. It is a very, very slippery slope. Because the second you get in an accident, it's no longer your word against the others. They got this little black box that says, oh, he was speeding two blocks before the accident.
Oh, yeah. It's not even a slippery slope. It's absolutely positively illegal. And how we even allow them to even consider this is beyond ridiculous. It's the government and their quest for getting information is doing it basically with us standing around allowing it to happen. And that's the frustrating part about all of this.
No, absolutely. And if I ever were to buy a car with one of these black boxes, I'm going to go to the nearest black market electric mechanic for a car and have it disconnected. I'm sorry. True story. What about these wristwatches that monitor kids' activities that the school put on the kids without the parents' permission?
Oh, not just that, but they also have, like on Saturday mornings, things at malls and other places where kids gather, and they claim it's just to, in case the child is ever kidnapped or whatever, but basically they're putting a computer chip to follow the kid. I mean, this is beyond ridiculous.
Well, no. Explain that one. What's this?
They have, like, computer chips. And
mm-hmm.
what they do is they take a person's information down. You stand there and, you know, this is my son, little Joey or whatever. They have a computer chip, and they put it into their computer there. So, basically, they can monitor little Joey. They claim it's they have his picture and everything. So, if you ever get kidnapped 7 years later, they know what he looks like when he's 14 or whatever. But the bottom line is, Annie, they have all of little Joey's information at the age of 7. They're just getting it earlier. That's exactly what it is. They pop all these computer chips into their hard drives. They can pretty much find anyone at any time. I mean, it's beyond ridiculous. Who's looking for them?
So this
who's monitoring
chip,
them?
This computer chip is then put in the child's computer or
no.
phone or something?
No. It's not put in their body. Basically, all the information, there's separate chips for individuals. So if there's 10 kids, there's 10 computer chips. And they basically install that information onto their hard drive, which they claim is a national child awareness, whatever it may be, in case of whatever. But the bottom line is you are giving 100% of that child's information to who knows who. This thing could be a total front. This thing could be, the Illuminati at work. Who knows? But anyway, the bottom line is, these parents are suckers and fall for it and think, yeah, hey, if anyone ever kidnaps my child, this is a great thing. No, it's not a great thing. It's giving information on your child to God knows who. His address, you know, what he likes, what his eyes look like. I mean, this is dangerous, very dangerous.
Yeah, so it's also like this thing with Obamacare. One of the things I was screaming about invasion with Obamacare, that they want to put all of your medical information in on a
wait a minute, Annie. That started with George Bush. Come on,
yeah.
Annie.
Yeah,
Annie,
but
that
he,
started
he,
with George Bush.
I
that
know,
passed
but he built
George's.
It into Obamacare. That's what I'm saying.
It's just that's inherited from George Bush. It's not
yes.
going to go away. It's not going to go away. That
I,
is the
I know
the,
that, but I don't like it. I don't want to be able to have a card
But you can't throw that on Obama. That was from Bush's time.
But he placed it in actual legislation.
They're just maintaining it. You can't eliminate it now. Okay, I work for a national health company, and let me tell you something. The city of New York makes my company, use its computer so that they could monitor our productivity and our contract to make sure we're meeting our contract specifications. So, I mean, you know, somebody wants to spend time bemoaning something that became practice in medical, in the medical community, something 10, 15 years ago. I mean, I got to just be quiet and listen. But to say that Obama's responsible for this, Obama and his bill could not overturn that, because I would like portability. I would like to be able to go from one doctor to another and have my records kept central. Personally speaking, I don't have anything to hide. Okay, so therefore, you know, I'm not having a problem with that. But please don't say that Obama started that. George Bush negotiated that.
No, I just stated that he built it into the legislation.
He carried it through.
Yeah, he actually put it in action. Where originally it was just a proposal, he actually put it into action and made it work.
I work in healthcare, and I can tell you that it's been in action for 10 years, because even 8 years ago, if you violated somebody's medical information, which is, that's what the law was set up for, okay, it was called the HIPAA law. It was set up by George Bush, and we have all in the health community been living with that law, and it does not affect service, okay? It actually keeps us all from violating patient confidentiality by mishandling people's records. That's what it does. And it's better than the pen and paper system, where every time you go to your doctor, you have to give them the same information until they find a piece of paper. I mean, this is just progress, and that came under George Bush.
That's
my specialization.
Kay Leslie, I've had this argument with everybody and anyone on the political conservative side. They just hesitate to criticize George Bush on what an idiot he is, and he was the worst president in our country's history prior to Obama coming around. And the bottom line is, this is a political problem.
He was
worse
than Jimmy Carter? No. He cannot be worse than Jimmy Carter.
Well, you would know that better than I would. But the bottom line is, okay, if you're saying, what you're basically saying, and is he's one of the worst of the three or four. I mean, what's that tell you? But the bottom line is, it's a political problem. It is of all parties. It doesn't matter if it's a D or an R next to your name. The problem is mutual. They are all,
actually,
in general, it is a entire Senate. It is all three levels of legislation. It is a problem there where we have judges that are career judges that have no fear of any of the ruling, including if it's a clear violation of the Constitution. And the same way with many politicians. They are being bought into office. And who really knows if these elections are becoming or are fair or not fair? Because they're becoming more in the hands of the dishonest people, and they're having less and less people moderate and be there at the polls to make sure that there's, that it's going above board. This is a problem politically everywhere, not just, party-wise. And I disagree. I think, if we elect, would it be better to elect this person than Barack Obama? Well, you know what? We don't know, because there's the lesser of the two evils. And, I mean, they're both going in the same direction. They're just taking different routes. So what we need to do, and I don't think throwing nails in front of the car that's moving to flatten its tire helps. You need to sabotage the car and destroy it so there's nothing left in that car.
Okay.
Well, I want to, Annie, let me say this real quick, and then I have to take off. Everybody's talking about the worst presidents in history. But you know what? And this is until somebody gives me a legitimate answer and I'm not buying. Oh, that's just what they do. And somebody better give me, and excuse my expression, somebody better give me a damn legitimate reason why that prick back in 1964, when 1957 previously, when he was a senator, filibustered the 1957 Civil Rights Act that was proposed by Republicans, and Dwight D. Eisenhower was wanting to sign it, it was filibuster. Not only by this idiot, but he then gets to go on and take credit for signing it by virtue of the fact that JFK was assassinated. But here's the kicker. Someone tell me, why does that prick get away with saying this quote? We'll have those niggers voting Democrat for the next 200 years. Someone gives me a legitimate answer of why he gets a free pass, I'll drop it. But until then, I'm going to bring that up on every show that I do until some liberal has enough guts to tell me why he is giving a free pass on that. Because if they can't, they're nothing but a bunch of two-faced, double-minded, hypocritical jackasses. And that's what I have to say about that. I apologize for ranting.
You had a little bit of an opinion there, Thomas. Hey, Thomas, you have a show going on tonight. We're down to our last few minutes. What's going on?
Pro-life. This is my Pro-Life Fridays with the Visible Conservative and Letitia Wong, and we talk about everything pro-life, not just abortion. We talk about stem cell, the cloning, and just the whole shebang. So, yeah, 5 p.m. Central Time, the Visible Conservative. Well, Visible Conservative. Yeah, so there you go.
All right, I'll put a link up in the chat room. Anyone else that has a show going up, please put your link up in the chat room. Kay Leslie, you have a show going on tonight?
Next week.
Okay, if you want, put a link up on that in the chat room so people know where to catch you at.
Yeah, thank
and
you,
also,
Annie.
Tesla has a show tonight.
I was just
believe,
getting
at 8
to
or
that.
9. Okay, well, you go ahead there, media star. I wouldn't want to interrupt.
Tesla, you got a show going on tonight.
I certainly do. At 9 p.m. is the Roundtable Roundup edition of Socialism is Not an Option at 9 p.m. Eastern. We hope to see all you folks there.
Oh,
and Bill O'Reilly has just announced he's canceling all guests. He's got Ann Ubellis on today and tomorrow and the day after for prime time.
Oh, man. Well, we're almost out of time here. I want to thank everyone for listening in. I want to mention John in the chat room, who is also the Marathon Pundit. He also has an excellent show here up on BTR. I want to tell you to go take a look at his show. John, if you got a link to your show and so forth, if you can, post it up inside the chat room for people to know where to find you. I believe his website for his blog is marathonpundit.blogspot.com. I hope I got that right. I want to thank everyone for listening. I thought I had uploaded the Etta James song to pay a tribute to her, and yes, I do have it here, and let me just try to bring it up. And we will end with Etta James, and Etta James, go rest in peace, and good night, and we'll see you all back here again on Tuesday at 2 o'clock. Same bat channel, same bat station. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
happened there?
All dreams.